If Christ is king, how should the Christian consider the kingdoms of this world? What does the Bible teach us about human authority and what it means to love our neighbors and our enemies? Before we render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, let's know what it means to render unto God what is God's. This is the Biblical Anarchy Podcast, the modern prophetic voice against war and empire.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Biblical Anarchy Podcast, a project of the Libertarian Christian Institute and part of the Christians for Liberty Network. This week and every week on Biblical Anarchy, we seek to live counterculture to the empire of man and to instead seek the kingdom of God by unpacking what the Bible teaches about government, authority, and human relationships. I am your host, Jacob Winograd. So for today's episode, I want to pick up sort of where I left off in last week's episode. If you haven't watched it, or listened to it rather, I would recommend listening to that. And also, if you haven't, the entire live stream from which I was playing a segment of and reacting to. This was with Kyle Matovic, host of the podcast In Liberty and Health. And we were reacting to Andrew Clavin and his comments regarding the departure of Candace Owens from the Daily Wire and criticisms of Candace, mainly in the category of accusing her of being anti-Semitic in things that she had done and said, mostly in her commentary towards Israel and sort of her reactions to people who were critical about her stances. So there's a lot of thoughts that I have whirling around my head regarding all of these things. And there was a couple things that I left off or, you know, didn't do a good enough job of diving into in that episode or in that conversation with Kyle. We covered them a little bit, but I really want to drive the point home a little bit more. Actually, the night before present time of me recording this, I was interviewed on someone else's podcast. This is David Wiley's podcast. I believe that I got his name correct. And I'll definitely be promoting that when it comes out on my socials and whatnot. If it's out by the time this is released, I'll have a link for it in the show notes. And I was able to, on his show, sort of like break down some of my thoughts on this. And I wanted to make it a little bit more clear on my own feed as well. Because these subjects, they touch areas of thought, of history, of our beliefs and our views on human dignity and rights and groups and collectivism. And they're very sensitive. And it's very easy for people to take things that you say out of context or for things to just be misinterpreted if they're not expressed clearly enough. And, you know, I would say, you know, it's probably a twofold problem, a problem where I feel like I need to always continue to find better ways to say the things that I want to say and to express them more clearly. This is sort of one of the reasons why I started a podcast, is because talking things out, having your ideas clash with other people's ideas, this is a useful way for developing the thoughts that you have to see where they're strong and to see where they're weak and to find ways to refine them and improve upon them. You know, that's sort of at the heart of the spirit of debate and at the heart of free speech, I would say, is not even just the right to criticize governments and criticize public figures, but also just to be able to think clearly and to improve upon our thought and improve upon our ideas. So I'm always trying to find ways to express my ideas more clearly, which is, by the way, for those who've listened to me long enough, know that there are times that I revisit subjects, and that's because as time goes on, I'll be like, ooh, you know, I used to say it this way, but I think this is a better way of saying it, or I used to give this argument, but I wasn't taking into account perhaps this counter argument or this objection, or maybe I was perhaps completely overlooking something and I need to actually completely abandon that argument in favor of another one that might have some overlap. And so for that reason, and also just because you get new people coming into a podcast feed and they're not
always going to go back and listen to episode one and catch up. You want to periodically kind of have a review of things that you've talked about in the past and a refresher for those who have listened for a while and a easier point of access to these arguments for people who are new. So that's part of why, anyway, the motivations of what's going on in my thought process. But then the other thing, so it's not just about improving our speech, and it's not just about these subjects being hard to articulate. But I would say the other problem is that on the receiving end, when people are listening to anyone talk about these subjects that I've been talking about the last couple of weeks, they are inclined to listen with a uncharitable ear and an uncharitable mindset. Maybe not everybody, but I think a lot of people, especially, you know, if people don't know who you are, they don't know the larger body of your work, and it's easy for them to develop a caricature of who you are just based upon a brief exposure. And so I want to drive more clearly home the points that I was talking about sort of in the later half of the segment I played in last week's episode, which was that the context of this being that Andrew Klavan was criticizing Candace Owens, saying that she was dog whistling when she had this segment where she talked about how not all the books that the Nazis burned were bad books. So I want to actually read from that segment. I have the transcript here, and this will help to contextualize what I was saying rather than you having to take my word for it as the listener. And I'll have the link to the specific episode in question in the show notes as well. But this was an episode back from February. So let's see. She was talking about John. I'm picking up like in the middle of the quote here. John Money, by the way, he was the one who first introduced the idea of changing around parts right when we talk about transgenderism. Should I mention John Money was also a homosexual man and he experimented on twins that he molested. So he was interested in that experimentation in the same way Kinsey was, perhaps. Now, let me just pause here. You know, this episode was Candace talking about psychology, and she was saying that there's a dark history to the school of psychology and talking about Sigmund Freud and talking about other psychologists from Europe and how a lot of their stuff included weird sexual perversions and things like that. So this is the context of everything here. So picking back up here in the quote from the transcript, Kinsey was perhaps interested in that experimentation. It's just a lot of homosexual men that have an interest in children when you look back into the history of a lot of these modern ideas that we're dealing with, which, by the way, brings me to number two. She was like, there's like three questions she was asking. Number two, did you know, this really blew my mind, do you know which books the Nazis were burning? I'm asking you this, and I'm telling you why it blew my mind, is because it's definitely something that we covered extensively, and you will cover extensively throughout the public education system, is the Holocaust and Nazi Germany. It's why so many people, when they're commenting, it seems like the only historical reference they have is it's just like Hitler. It's literally Nazis. So that obsession with only referring to that historical aspect, partially because when you were in a public school student, you really focus on World War II and the Nazis. So I was shocked that I never learned throughout the schooling that the brown shirts, you know, the student activists that went around burning a bunch of books, were burning books that they deemed to be Marxist and that they deemed to be overtly sexual. And one of the first and most notorious book burnings was the student-led destruction of the library at the Institute for Sexual Research. And that library was founded by a man named Magnus Hirschfeld. And he was the guy who actually first coined the term. Keep in mind, I'm still reading just straight from the transcript of this episode from Candace Owens. I don't want to get confused here. So, and he was the first guy who actually coined the term transsexual. And in that library, he kept sexually stimulating objects and erotic imagery from non-Europeans. He was particularly and bizarrely interested in the history of sexuality and its deviations in Africa was his focus.
he had a lot of imagery from African people, from African colonies at the time that Germany owned, if you want to refer to a colony with a German colony, so to speak. They were interested in watching Africans have sex and photographing that. It was very weird and disgusting to me and extremely perverse. He and some of his peers took a theoretical approach to age-specific attraction as a purported dimension of either physical hermaphroditism or psychosexual infantilism. Yeah, so again, you're seeing that the concept of children and sex as a psychology, there's a picture of Magnus Hirschfeld, the director of the Institute for Sexual Research. He was a homosexual, and in this picture of him at a costume party he threw at the Institute for Sexual Research in Berlin, he's one of the glasses, he's holding hands. She was showing a picture at this time on the video with his partner, Carl Geiss. By the way, now, Magnus is hailed as a hero or whatever, and in my view, he's a pervute. And that doesn't mean his library or his institute should have been burned down. There's no excuse for burning down an institute. But we don't then also pretend that somebody that is perverse is somehow a hero, in my view. Am I crazy? All right, so that's the end of this transcript. Sorry, the transcript when I was reading it, parts of it were kind of weird because Candace was not reading from a script herself. So she's talking and some of her sentences were broken up a little awkwardly when you're trying to read them. But the point is, that's the context, right? If you go back and listen to the entire live stream or the segment even that I just played in last week's episode where I talked with Kyle, this is not at all what Klavan brings up. Klavan does not give the context of Candace talking about the history of the study of the human mind and psychology and weird sexual perversions and stuff. And the reason why she brought it up in the context of the Nazis, and she's like, well, we've learned so much about the Nazis and learned so much about World War II. She's like, I don't remember this. I don't know if many people do remember learning this, if it's taught at all, that the initial targets of these book burnings, that people, one of the things people point to was one of the horrors of the Nazis, was that they were burning these specific books. And then she ends by saying, I'm not saying that it's justified to burn down this institution or to burn down these books, but it's information that should be considered and counted on the ledger. And why does this matter, right? Again, going a little bit from last week's episode, this matters because there's a context and it's very gross and just flat out wrong, especially from Klavan, who proclaims to be a Christian, and Candace, who proclaims to be a Christian. So when I see a brother in Christ smearing a sister in Christ on false pretenses, that is wrong, and that needs to be called out. Secondly, we need to understand what Candace's point here, which is absolutely valid, and this was brought up in last week's episode, and Kyle made, you know, mention to this near the end, and I want to just drive this point home. The point being that we need to understand that these evil tragedies, these evil ideologies, these evil movements that crop up, they don't happen in a vacuum. It's not like they just crop up all of a sudden for no reason. You know, an evil man rises up and says, I think we need to go and kill a bunch of people, and people just get swept up in it. This is true for even things I would criticize. Like, as much as I have been critical of Zionism and of the state of Israel, if you study the history of this, which, by the way, if you need a good place to start, if you want to look more into the history of Zionism, the lead up to World War II, and then the creation of Israel, and kind of the history of the relationships between the Jews and the Arabs in that region, I would highly recommend the Martyr Made podcast and his series, Fear and Loathing in the New Jerusalem. It's by a guy named Daryl Cooper. I'll have links for that in the show notes as well. But when you study the history of Zionism, even from someone like me or like Daryl Cooper, who says, like, there are problems here and, you know, the excesses have led to wrongs being committed to the Arabs, to the Palestinian people, it is not without sympathy for the plight of the Jewish people who were fearful and fleeing persecution and pogroms, and then obviously later on, you know, fleeing the persecution of the Nazis. And I can understand how when you're fearing for your life and your family's life and you don't know where else you can go,
Zionism became a very attractive option for a lot of Jews because they said, the world has rejected us. We need to reclaim our home. And you see a lot of Zionists back then, even to today, say that whatever it takes, like even if it means kicking these people out of these homes, a lot of the early Zionists even wrote explicitly that they knew that for there to be a Jewish homeland there, they would have to displace the Arab population, that they would have to. And so I think Candace's point, I mean, she was making a lot of points in that episode. She was kind of talking about how there's a lot of creepy sexual perversion in the history of the field of psychology, which is true. But then also, like, another point there is the regime of Nazi Germany, the regime of Adolf Hitler, didn't crop up in a vacuum. There were issues in Germany that led to the people there feeling that the Nazis were rightfully identifying where these problems were and offering solutions to that, and the people were caught up in that. And you can see correlations to that today. There's a lot of people on the Christian right who are very concerned about a lot of this transgender stuff, a lot of this woke ideology, a lot of this sexual immorality and degeneracy that has permeated our culture. And so that was also something that many Germans were concerned about. And just as there are excesses in certain sects of Christianity today, like some of the Christian nationalists, like your Nick Fuentes types, who are basically calling for a counter-collectivism and a sort of authoritarianism as a response to this, well, then you could kind of be like, okay, you know what? It's important to understand historical context, right? Like, we need to not, when we're studying history and we look at any particular, like, phenomena, we can't truncate the antecedents. We need to figure out what happened before, what led up to this. What allowed for Adolf Hitler to rise to power were circumstances where the German people were economically destitute and watching the culture around them fall apart into degeneracy and all sorts of things that were causing people to become very alarmed and very concerned. And then the Jewish people became scapegoats for this. Because a lot of these people that there were some people doing very evil things, very perverted things that were Jewish. And it's annoying to me that this has to be said. But like, of course, Nazis are evil. Should I say it like 10 times? Well, Nazis are evil. 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 Like, this should just be a given. We should be able to talk about things without always having to give endless caveats, endless prefaces, endless like reassurances, which I feel like is why Candace is the type to not bow down to the mob, even though she has said many times, I disavow Hitler, I disavow Nazis, I disavow racism, I disavow violence, I disavow Hamas. None of these disavowments have earned her anything. She still is persecuted as an anti-Semite. And listen, people have persecuted me as an anti-Semite. You know, in my recent live stream with Angela McCardle, chair of the Libertarian Party, if you go listen to that, I talk about my experiences with even people within the libertarian movement who have gone out of their way to try to harass me and persecute me and to even commit acts of evil against me. And that's because people get possessed by different strands of collectivism. And listen, Nazism is a strand of collectivism that leads to violence. But so too is there collectivism on the left, and so too is there collectivism that's kind of built up in the indoctrination of sort of like the American ethos and the sort of like civic religion and story that we all ascribe to as Americans, because it's the story of us that we're taught in our public institutions. But they leave a lot of things out and they paint a particular narrative. As you know, history is, you know, written by the winners. It doesn't mean the losers were good. As I often say, just in current events, it's not usually good guys versus bad guys, but it's bad guys and bad guys. History is a lot of that too. And the Nazis were certainly bad guys. But it doesn't mean that everyone that the Nazis were opposed to were angels. Like this Jewish guy who was the head of this Institute of Sexual Study, he's hailed as like a hero and hailed as also like because he was a Jew who got persecuted, he's even honored and celebrated among certain Jewish circles. And Candace just saying, like, listen, can't we just say that it's wrong to commit mass murder campaigns? It's wrong to burn down buildings. It's even wrong to burn books. But
Can we understand what drove people to such desperation? What drove people to what we would label as madness? They were reacting to something. And the things that they were reacting to could have very well been problems, could have very well been evil. And we need to learn these lessons of history if we're going to understand what to do now, if we're going to not repeat the same mistakes. You know, it's funny because people want to say that line that those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat them. And then when someone like Candace Owens brings them history that should help us to deal with problems that we are facing today, they get fired from their jobs and labeled as anti-Semitic and Holocaust deniers and Nazi sympathizers. This is ridiculous. It's disgusting. And the fact that there are Christians and conservatives who are providing cover for this is something that is deeply troubling to me and deeply disturbing to me. Because you know what? As I've said before, I believe in the sentiment of never again. As a Jewish person myself who has faith in the King of the Jews, in Jesus Christ, but whose family is predominantly Jewish, let me tell you something. I cry like a baby when I watch things about the Holocaust, including one of my, I mean, it's weird to call it my favorite movie because it's so terrible, but it's amazingly terrible. The movie Schindler's List. I remember taking a Holocaust studies class in my high school and visiting the Holocaust Museum and going through it and having the full effect and weight of that come to bear on me. I remember looking through lists, trying to find, you know, relatives' last names to see if, like, you know, it kind of make that more real to me. And then I remember watching Schindler's List for the first time. And to this day, every few years, I go back and watch it because I think of at the end when Oscar is irreconcilably crying, unconsolable, because he's looking at the few possessions he did not sell that he could have used to save one more life. And yes, human lives are precious, and we should be emotionally disturbed by things like the Holocaust. We should be inspired by people like Oscar Schindler, who did extraordinary acts of heroism to stand up to tyrants to protect the innocent. And I bawl my eyes out when I watch that movie. I cry when I think about that scene and the emotional impact it has. And that drives me to this day because I am driven by those things that I have learned and studied to speak out for the innocent, to say, we never again, right? That's the mantra, never again. But that means two things. Never again means know the history so that you can actually be an effective voice to make sure it doesn't happen again. And boiling down to just, well, it's just this weird, like, I don't know, people woke up one day in Germany and just became evil overnight. No, it wasn't all of a sudden for no reason. And there were legitimate grievances, just like bin Laden had legitimate grievances. And just like the Palestinians and Hamas have legitimate grievances, which leads me to my second point. You can't say never again and then turn a blind eye to over 30,000 dead Palestinians. Over half of the Palestinian population are children. And I am growing impatient, and Lord give me grace for that, but I am growing impatient and having a hard time restraining my anger. The same anger that I feel when I see Hamas terrorists kill innocent people on October 7th, I don't know why we don't have the same anger when we see the IDF blowing up innocent Palestinian civilians. And you have people going on Candace Owens' show when she was still with the Daily Wire saying that she's being anti-Semitic for equivocating that. Because she says, just like I do, that the loss of innocent life is tragic no matter what. But then you have people like Rabbi Barclay, you have people like Andrew Klavan saying, well, no, but when evil is committed against the Jewish people, it's especially evil in a special category. So if you're not more upset at when Jews die than when anyone else dies, then you must be anti-Semitic. Go back and listen to those interviews. I'll have them linked in my show notes. Go back and tell me I'm wrong. Tell me that I am misrepresenting their positions. I dare you. This is wrong. This is collectivism that is contrary to the teachings of Christ. There is no Jew, no Greek, no male, no female, no free, no slave, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Christ is not a respecter. God is not a respecter of our different collective groups of the flesh.
murder isn't especially heinous when it's done to one ethnicity versus another. I'm going to try to bring it to a close on this, and I've been very emotional. This is important, and I'm not going to stop talking about it. But Candace Owens has a much larger platform than I do. She's not a libertarian, although she's libertarian adjacent. She's had conversations with Dave Smith, who I've also had on my show, who is one of the biggest libertarian voices in the country. So there's a chance that she could be at least a useful ally for the Kingdom of God and for libertarians, but that she's also the spearhead of this movement of Christians and conservatives who are starting to wake up from the haze of the propaganda that we are raised with in this country that says that we must be uncritical towards the state of Israel and be in unilateral support of this neocon interventionist foreign policy because of the state of Israel, because of the Jewish people, all connecting it back to the Holocaust. And listen, I'll condemn people who go too far down the other side of this, the Nick Fuentes's of the world, and those who are even worse than him, who then go, oh, well, because of this, this must all be a conspiracy, and the Holocaust never happened, and the Jewish people are really evil, and Hitler did nothing wrong. I'm sure someone's going to clip those last 10 seconds and play them out of context. Again, we do it again. The Nazis are evil. The Nazis are evil. The Nazis are evil. I mean, you know, it's just saying it's not enough. You can say something's evil, but to truly combat something, you need to understand it. To truly be effective in saying never again, you need to understand how it happened in the first place. Because it is true that those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it. But Candace is at the spearhead of this, of people who are waking up from this fog, and she is taking the shots. And I think it's important that we be supportive of her and supportive of other people who are following in her footsteps. And as much as I have, you know, even a 100th or 1,000th of the platform that she does, I will speak to the people who listen to my show and try to make the same case and also try to set the record when people are smearing people like her, because I hope people do the same for me, because I go out there and make almost the same exact arguments and points that she does. This is all caused because we are living in a landscape of warring collectivism, warring collectives, warring views of the world that are dependent upon these earthly constructions of a collective ideology and a collective mindset. And we need to break free of that, because the only mindset that we as Christians should have is one that is stemming from our identity in Christ and of advancing Christ's kingdom and viewing people as individuals through the eyes of Christ, which means that every innocent life lost should make you weep. Because that is someone who might not have yet heard the gospel. That is someone who is the least of these that we should have been out there feeding and sheltering and protecting and caring for, as we are to do those things as if they are unto our Lord. And I cry out for my Christian brothers and sisters to wake up, because we should be, as my intro says, we should be the voice. We should be the loudest ones. And like, I don't agree with everything Candace Owens says, but she gets this part right. She has been one of the loudest voices against war and empire and gross collectivism, and doing so in the name of Christ, as she ends a lot of her statements by reminding people that Christ is king and she is on team God, not team America, not team Israel, not team this or that, but that she is on the side of what is right as according to God, as according to what Christ our King has instructed us to do. So I will end on that. I hope that, again, I'll have links in the show notes for the things that I mentioned on the episodes that Candace did, that I mentioned, the interviews that I did with Kyle, as well as with Angela McCardle, because I'm somewhat relevant too. And yeah, please just, if you take anything from this, please remember that evil does not crop up in a vacuum, that there are, everything that happens has a cause. Even the people that the terrorists of today probably saw their brother or father or sister or neighbor get blown up by Israeli or American missiles 12 years ago or 15 years ago. And what does Romans 12 say? We cannot be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And
you know, last question. Please imagine Jesus sitting in a U.S. government building and looking at a map and saying, yeah, drop a bomb there. We got to wake up to this. We got to, listen, there can be self-defense. There can be just war. But there cannot be justification for just collateral damage and collective punishment. I'm probably going to, I keep on saying I'm going to end it on this, but I'm probably going to have to pivot back to dispensationalism soon, because it is mainly through the influence of dispensationalism and faulty views of the old covenant and the new covenant by which Christians find ways to excuse this. So this will be the point which I shift back into a different gear and start going down those roads again. So there'll be some episodes of that coming again down the pipeline. I've already done some, and I'll probably link some of those in the show notes too for those who haven't watched all those yet. But I hope that what I'm saying comes through clear to you. I hope that you understand that where I'm coming from, although I'm angry at the tragedy of it all, and just hoping and praying that my brothers and sisters in Christ will hear my heart, which I think is being guided by Christ and what Christ has called us to do, which is to be a royal priesthood, a blessing to the world, preaching the gospel to all the corners of the world. And again, we can't do that while simultaneously dropping missiles on people and calling for the mass slaughter of people and justifying all these different state interventions and actions that are just counter to the mission that we've been given. So thank you for listening. Please pray on the things that I've said. Please watch the material that I've recommended or read the material I've recommended. Be informed so that you can know better how to direct your prayers, how to direct your efforts, how we can direct our voices so that we can do what I always end the show by saying, so that we can live for peace and live for Christ. Take care.
The Biblical Anarchy Podcast is a part of the Christians for Liberty Network, a project of the Libertarian Christian Institute. If you love this podcast, it helps us reach more with a message of freedom when you rate and review us on your favorite podcast apps and share with others. If you want to support the production of the Biblical Anarchy Podcast, please consider donating to the Libertarian Christian Institute at biblicalanarchypodcast.com, where you can also sign up to receive special announcements and resources related to biblical anarchy. Thanks for tuning in.